The song we have just sung about talks about looking to God for help and for life. We've been reminded this morning that God is with us, God is close to us, and God is always available to us.
When Jesus came to earth, he showed us what God is like. He showed us how God welcomes and forgives and challenges and supports and loves all people.
As we take communion, we take time to remember Jesus, who showed us how much God loves everyone, and who gave himself so that we might have a full, good, and abundant life. And we take time to give thanks for how this God is always with us.
We will eat a piece of cracker and drink some juice like Jesus did with his friends at the end of his life as a way of remembering that God's love is for every single person, and it's a reminder that God's love is within us.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
At Cedar Ridge, each family decides when it's appropriate for their child or children to share communion. Everyone is welcome.
During this time, you can also respond to God by lighting a candle or making a financial gift. You can pray with someone at the back or write a prayer and put it in one of the frames, and people will pray for you during the week. We will sing together, and when you are ready, please come forward and take communion. Thank you.
Oh, for joining us. And it is now time for pre-K. Can be dismissed and meet your teachers in your classrooms and at the doors over here. And elementary can go out through these doors. And everyone else, please take a few moments and greet one another and before we continue on with the service.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. And I know this is a really big day around the world. Maybe the first one to tell you, happy Groundhog Day. We have a bit of a sighting. So what we've learned this morning that this groundhog, that's not actually Punxsutawney Phil, but we understand that it's six more weeks until this groundhog tries once again to get back into the church. So we'll see how that works. And six more weeks until Mark Hartley is chasing him and his family around the property. So we really can't wait. So I understand at least there's one party, Groundhog Day party, happening this evening. So I don't know if you're invited, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Speaking of, let's see, shadows, sun. I wanted to give you an update while I'm here on our solar farm. Many of you know back in November of 2018, we had entered into an agreement with a solar development company to lease to them just over 7 acres in the back of the property, so like behind the labyrinth and in that meadow area back there, with the purpose of establishing a community solar farm. Community solar is a new thing that has kind of opened up in Maryland, and we are the first project in Montgomery County. And so right now that developer is in the process of going before the county review board and making sure all the regulations are met and trying to work through that whole process. And so they are in the midst of that, and there is, I think, a public hearing at the end of February, which is, you know, another significant step in that process. And if things stay on track, there could be approval like at the end of April, is, you know, kind of how the schedule is going, or not, I guess, but we think things seem to be progressing as expected. And so that could mean that, you know, by sometime in May, perhaps, there would be some beginning of construction and then, you know, in the summertime, maybe going live. That is a way for us as a community to, you know, another way to cherish the earth and a commitment to renewable energy, as well as it will provide up to 350 BGE customers with solar energy at a reduced price, and that includes at least 30% who are low to moderate income. So I think it's good for the planet. Good for us, I think, and so that's kind of where we are with that. If you have more questions, I don't know a whole lot more than that, but we'll try to keep you posted as things move along in that process. So looking forward to that, and thought some of you may be wondering. Yeah, that's progress. Thank you for that rousing ovation. So. All right, well, we are in the second part of this More Than Enough series. So for the first 3 weeks, we have been taking a look at kind of the ideas of thirst and hunger and being satisfied and seeking satisfaction in God. And for the next 4 weeks, we're kind of, it's a series, but we're taking a little bit of a different shift in that we're taking a look at some writers who can help us along that journey. People across many centuries who have taught some things or written some things that are instructive, I think, for us as we are on this quest for knowing God or connecting with God or having that hunger and thirst satisfied. And so that's kind of where we're heading over the next few weeks. So just a reminder, if you haven't picked up a workbook for this discipleship series, there's some out in the commons. For these next several series, or next several weeks, there are excerpts from these books. So if you happen to be in a group, or even if you're not in a group, you may want to read through those excerpts, you know, before you meet together, and that gives you a little more flavor of the author and kind of what their point is, and makes for a good discussion. Now, I'm going to start off by just saying that I'm one of the people that has not often been inspired so much by the work of the monastics. You know, there's a good collection of readings from the medieval monastics, and they're very good spiritual readings, and some of you probably love them, and that, so this says really more about me than it does about the writers, I think. But sometimes I find that, you know, for men or women who go off into a monastery, and I don't know, they seemed a little bit removed from like kind of the real life stuff that I go through, like, you know, changing diapers on your kid, or filling out taxes, or studying for an exam, or running errands, those kind of things. It seems to me that, wow, like they have this hugely massive spiritual prayer life, and how in the world can I possibly do that in my world? So I've not always been like greatly inspired by some of those writings. But there is one exception, and it's a guy by the name of Brother Lawrence. Conveniently enough, that's who I'm going to talk about today. He is a monk. He was a monk who speaks to us about connecting with God in real life, in the everyday nitty-gritty of life, rather than ways that are peculiar to living in a monastery, for example. So whether we're cooking food or washing dishes or managing people or doing our jobs, you know, this is a guy that I can kind of relate to. And I think he gives us some guidance that will help us as we think about this whole idea of connecting with God every day. And so that's what we're going to focus on, this element of his teaching this morning. So first of all, just a little introduction to who Brother Lawrence is. He was born by the name of Nicholas Hermann back in 1611, and grew up in a poor family in Lorraine, France. He didn't have formal education. His family was poor, and in order to provide get a steady source of food and some income, he joined the army. And he became a soldier during the 30 Years' War under King Louis XIV, Louis XIV. And his military career was actually pretty short-lived. He got captured by the Germans and was, not very well treated by the Germans. He got injured by the Swedes once he was back out in commission and really had a lifelong disability and limp as a result of that injury. And he probably suffers what we call PTSD. All right, so war was not real pleasant for him. So he finally returned home after the army and tried to get a job as a household servant. But apparently because of his well-known clumsiness, he wasn't able to hold that job. Spiritually speaking, when Nicholas Hermann was 18 years old, he was walking outside and he came upon a leafless tree in the wintertime. Okay, that's pretty common. But for some reason, that sight stirred in him something, and it brought him an insight into the fact that soon spring is coming. And that very tree is going to have flowers, and that very tree is going to have leaves, and it's part of this process. And he was struck at that point by the reality of God, and by the love of God, and the power of God who was at work in the world. And so this was a kind of a transformative experience for him. Some people call it his like conversion experience, where from that point on, he dedicated himself to God, to following after God, and to serving God in whatever way he could. And that's a vision that really sustained him throughout the years. You look back at that and sense that this is where God met me. Well, eventually Nicholas joined the Barefooted Carmelite Monastery in Paris, and this is Paris around that time in the late 1500s, early 1600s. And that's where he took on the name Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, and he lived there until he died at the age of 80 in 1691. So, Brother Lawrence, looking at his life, he was no religious superstar, right? He had no formal education. He was clumsy, overweight, apparently, with a man with a disability. He took no interest in theological debate or in really fancy or complicated devotions. He was a pretty simple man who had a simple faith. And yet his life and his approach continue to impact people almost 330 years after his death. One of his colleagues came to visit. He had heard what was going on and how Brother Lawrence was kind of making an impact on his monastery and the people there. And he had a series of conversations with them, and then he compiled some letters that Brother Lawrence wrote, and he put it together in a small book called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's a short read if you're interested. In that book, he really kind of is almost a singular focus. And this is kind of what he taught, the practice that he advocated, the practice that he lived out. And it was something called the practice of the presence of God. Now, if you're like me, those words don't necessarily like go together in some way. Or how do you practice the presence of God? You know, we're talking about practice, you know. Sorry, some of you would get that, I guess. So what does that mean to what's that mean? Really, in our language, I think we would say we are going to acknowledge the presence of God whenever we can. That we're going to intentionally turn our attention to the God who is always with us. It's a focus. It's a drawing of an attention. It's a developing of a conversational relationship with God, who is our constant companion. So it's throughout that day and throughout all time, God is available to us. And it's a matter of turning our attention or practicing the presence of God. This kind of developed out of a struggle that Brother Lawrence had in the early goings of his life in the monastery. He struggled with structured, like, quiet time or community prayers. Has your mind ever wandered? When you say, all right, I'm going to be really spiritual, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to like pray for a while, I'm going to read, and then boom, off. Same with him, right? It just doesn't seem to be resonating with him. He struggled with those times. But what he came to experience was that, you know what, we can experience God while we work as much as we can while we are at church or those formal times of worship. So this morning we're going to take a look at several quotes from his book that are interspersed here, and this is one of them here. He wrote at one point, or he talked at one point, I have stopped practicing all forms of devotion and set prayers except for those which I am obliged to participate in, you know, when it's all the whole community got together. I make it my practice only to persevere in his holy presence. I do this by simply paying attention to and directing my affection to God. I call this the actual presence of God. It is a habitual, silent, and secret communion of the soul with God. This often causes such joys and raptures inwardly, and sometimes also outwardly, that I am forced to make an effort to moderate them to prevent their appearance to others. So instead of, you know, trying to experience God only in these religious settings, Brother Lawrence sought to weave his experience of God into every aspect of his life and every moment of his day. And what he's kind of known for was like really especially focusing on his work. So at that monastery, all of the brothers were assigned different jobs. And during his 50 years, he worked as a sandal maker, as a wine buyer. But for most of those years, he worked as a cook and a dishwasher for the community. Frankly, it was a job that he hated, and apparently he complained about it and was just assuming that God was punishing him for his sins by making him work in the kitchen. And that was really his thing, and I think it went on like for several years, right? Like, this is the worst job ever. I'm so sorry, God. I deserve it. I deserve the punishment. But one night, he had this fresh vision of the love and the grace and forgiveness of God, who he believes kind of spoke to him and said, look, you know, I have forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus was all about. You don't have to, I'm not punishing you. And that, okay, that worked for him. And so he wakes up the next morning and he has this fresh attitude. And he took now this opportunity to work in the kitchen as a way to serve the other servants of God who were there, and also just to develop this ongoing relationship with God as a response to the love of God that he experienced and that he felt was reaching out towards him. He wrote this, and this is probably one of his most famous quotes. He didn't write this, okay, but, you know, hang with me. He said it. The time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. Right? So he had learned somehow to turn his attention to God throughout the course of his day, no matter what he was doing, no matter what was going on around him, and still be responsible and productive at his job. And for him, that was more than enough. This was how he was fostering and cultivating a relationship with God. For him, this was motivated not by guilt or by like a ritual, everybody's supposed to do this, but really for the love of God. It was said of him that the most excellent method he had found of going to God was that of doing our common business without any view of pleasing men and, as far as we are capable, purely for the love of God. God regards not the greatness of the work, but the love which prompts it. So again, he was responding to God's love for him by giving himself to his work and in relationship with God. This, it seems like, is how he lived out that call of the Scriptures to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. There's another passage in Scripture that I think that gets at that as well. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so he took that to heart. And so as he flipped eggs, you know, in the frying pan, he was doing that in giving thanks to God. You know, he was aware of God's presence no matter what he was doing. This simple man was profoundly stirred by God's love and sought to do everything in return out of love for Christ. So really, this practice is what was at the heart of Brother Lawrence became known for, this conversational relationship with God that extended beyond the religious centers and was integrated into all of life. One more time, I'll read from this book. "This has been my spiritual practice ever since I entered into this religious community. Even though I have done this practice very imperfectly, I have found it to be very helpful. All benefits from this practice I attribute wholly to the mercy and goodness of God, because we can do nothing without him. This is certainly true of me more than anyone. When we are faithful to keep ourselves in his holy presence and set him always before us, this prevents us from willfully offending and displeasing him. It also produces within us a holy freedom and, if I may speak so boldly, an intimacy with God, so that we are able to ask and successfully receive by his grace anything that we need. In conclusion, by repeating this practice often, it becomes second nature, and the presence of God becomes our normal state of mind." He goes on and just says, "We cannot escape the dangers which abound in life without the actual and continual help of God. Let us then pray to him for it continually. How can we pray to him without being with him? How can we be with him but in thinking of him often? How can we often think of him but by a holy habit which we should form for it? This is the best and easiest method I know, and I use no other, and I advise all the world to do it. We must know before we can love. In order to know God, we must often think of him. And when we come to love him, we shall also think of him often, for our heart will be filled with our treasure." So I think, you know, we've been talking in this series about thirst and hunger. And so I think of it maybe a little bit like this. There probably are not too many doctors that would recommend, you know, you getting your your, what, 60 to 80 ounces of water a day, or your 2,000 calories, like all at once in one meal or at one time, you know, breakfast, do it all up, and then for the rest of the day, don't do anything. Or even more, once a week, right? Just take in your food content for the week and then just don't touch anything else. Instead, I think they would probably say, yeah, it's probably better to spread that out throughout the day. Spread your food intake, spread your water intake throughout the day or throughout the week. And I think that's what Brother Lawrence is saying. You know, it goes beyond. Our connection with God goes beyond some formal setting or some religious type of ritual. But it's something that we interact with God and develop and foster throughout the day, every day. And so that's what it means to Brother Lawrence of practicing the presence of God. So this practice, now some of us are sitting here saying, well, like, yeah, that's, I mean, that's what we do, right? But apparently, you know, that was fairly revolutionary in his time, and it set him apart from some other people. But really, it seems not something that he made up, but it was a way for him to live out some of the teachings of Scripture, or some of the references to Scripture that we see. And it was like an application of several of those. So I just want to take a look at a couple passages of Scripture that, you know, may allow us to say, all right, this could be how I continue to do that. In the Psalms, the psalm writer says, I keep the Lord always before me, or I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. So this focused attention, I'm going to turn my attention and always keep God before me intentionally. Colossians chapter 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so there's this practice, this discipline of turning our minds towards God. Ephesians 6 is another place where the writer Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So this idea of, you know, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, kind of all the time. And then some of the words that maybe have, you know, intrigued some of us, one of the shorter verses in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, right? Or pray continually, or never stop praying. Well, that's how, I mean, how do you get any work done if you never stop praying, right? But it's not necessarily a down on your knees kind of thing. But as we go throughout the day, there are numerous opportunities just to, in the midst of it, check in with God. And in a sense, pray without ceasing. So this practicing the presence of God gives us an opportunity, a way to keep our hearts and minds intentionally set on God and becoming more and more aware of his presence that is within us, that is around us. So I think there are several things, I think, that we can learn from this simple man of faith about this approach to Scripture or to our life with God. And so I'm just going to give six ways, I think, that we can grow in this practice. The first one is to exercise faith. All right, exercise faith. For his first few years in the monastery, and I referred to this a little bit, he struggled. Like, is this really for him? He really wrestled with the idea of his sinfulness, that he was some wretched man and that God was punishing for his sins and he was always feeling guilty. But then, during that breakthrough I talked about, he realized that this was all a lack of faith, right? That the life of faith says that God forgives. And he, from that time on, committed to live in that reality and to live by faith, not only in the forgiveness of Christ, but that God was present in his soul and that in all of the events of life, he could arise and seek the presence of God. So living by faith, he experienced great freedom and joy from that point on. It was a matter of faith. I know for probably the last 10, 15 years of my life, I've been kind of going through this, you know, deconstruction and reconstruction of my faith and spending a lot of time, you know, thinking about, you know, trying to figure everything out, you know, this whole God thing. How does that all make sense? And, you know, what works here? And so it is, you know, taken on a, you know, kind of a cerebral approach to trying to just kind of get it right, to figure it out, to analyze and see how it all makes sense. And I think in some ways, you know, that comes from a bit of a skeptical approach to God and just try, not so sure. And really trying to wrestle through that. And I think at times that skepticism kind of overruled, you know, faith, confidence in God, trust in God. It was trying to make that all work out. But what I've been discovering, I think, is that while that whole process of questioning and critiquing and working through those issues is good and healthy and productive, and I think many of us have benefited from that, I think we also need to leave room for faith, just a willingness, even if it's not 100%, to take some steps of faith and say, you know what, there is something that it's possible to have confidence in things we can't see or prove if we're really going to experience and sense God's presence with us. It takes some of those steps, those leaps. Hebrews chapter 11, the writer there, says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Brother Lawrence says, "Our faith grows more alive and active in all the events of life when we practice the presence of God." And so it seems that there was, you know, in order to, hey, be willing to, throughout the day, kind of reach out to God internally, it takes some faith to say, all right, I don't know if I've got all the answers, but I'm willing to give it a shot. But then as we do that, faith grows. And so he found that kind of cyclical way. And maybe a lot of us, maybe some of you feel like that a little bit. You're not, you know, even sure that God is out there somewhere or with us, that God is really interested in our lives. And if as you think about this practice, you're kind of, I don't know. But maybe, we've talked a little bit about the discipline of fasting, the practice of fasting. Maybe if that's where you are, you would consider this week a fast from skepticism. I don't know, like just try it. Say, all right, this week I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say a prayer and I'm not totally sure what it means, or I'm going to reach out to God while I'm working through the day or while I'm in my car, and let's just see. I don't know. Maybe that's where you are. And maybe taking some of those following steps. And maybe it's just a matter of, you know, God, I'm still seeking. God, I'm open. And just seeing where that goes. But faith is one of those things that we exercise to help experience God's presence. A second lesson I think we can learn from Brother Lawrence is to unclutter your mind. Unclutter our minds. He said, "I worshipped him as often as I could, keeping my mind in his holy presence. Whenever I noticed that my mind had wandered, I brought it back to him. I found this very difficult, and yet I continued in the practice without feeling guilty when my mind wandered off involuntarily. I made this my constant exercise all day long, whether it was the appointed time of prayer or not. At all times, every minute of every hour, even at the busiest time of my work, I drove from my mind everything that was capable of interrupting my thoughts of God." Well, I think for us, maybe one of the biggest hindrances to practicing the presence of God is practicing the presence of the internet, right? I mean, it's kind of everywhere. And so we talked, I think it was last week, about the possibility of doing a digital detox, right? And of how, anybody try that? Yeah, okay, we got some. You're not shaking too much, I guess that's a good sign. I think probably we all have varying, you know, opportunities, experience of what would it be a way like to like not have my phone this week or this day, even this hour, because it really that world's wide web is right in our hands, and it's so easily, you know, easy to get entangled in it. Later we'll talk about how Brother Lawrence said, hey, before a task and during a task and after a task, you know, you can look to God just briefly. And that's, I think, what we often do with our phones, right? Before, during, and after a task. Hey, you just want to, you know, just want to check it out. I wonder what the update on the impeachment is. Let me just check that out, right? Or what's, you know, any outrageous tweets out there today? Or I just want to check on my Facebook friend and see what they had for supper last night. You know, I'm really curious about that. Or what's the latest on the Ravens' preparation for the Super Bowl? Oh, I'm so sorry. Not sorry. How's the market doing, right? Did the groundhog see its shadow? All of these things I think we've found like of urgent importance. And we almost figure there's some ancient text written somewhere that says, you know, text without ceasing. Or, you know, post without ceasing. Or tweet without ceasing. Or like without ceasing. Or scroll without ceasing. What if we turn to God as often as we turn to our phone? Oof. I think Brother Lawrence would say, hey, think about that. Think about that. All right. Next, feed your faith with Scripture. Feed your faith with Scripture. Brother Lawrence says he used to think about God as much as he could during those set prayer times. So when he was there and in those kind of religious settings, he kind of tried to focus on what he called high notions of God, to really fill his mind with, you know, just wonderful thoughts about who God is. Not necessarily as a problem to solve or as an issue to figure out, but he was captivated by Christ during those times. He found that he could nourish his faith more simply and more purely in the very words of Jesus Christ, as found in the Gospels, right? So he had a steady diet of just focusing on the words of Jesus and allowing that to fill his mind throughout the day, and then just kind of interacting with that throughout his experience. So he did take advantage of those more structured community prayer times and allowed his heart and mind to be filled with Christ and his word. So he wasn't just winging it along the day, but there was this kind of launching pad or this backdrop for his conversations with God throughout the day. You know, I found sometimes a lot of people talk about in the morning times. I've found morning times just kind of filling my mind with Scripture can help as I kind of walk throughout the day. And a lot of folks have found that, or, you know, other times are great as well. Well, for a few times during the rest of this service, we're going to pause very briefly to practice the presence of God. Okay? And we're going to do that right now. Don't have to stand up, don't have to kneel down, don't have to really do anything, you really don't even have to close your eyes. But for the next 10 seconds, okay, I want you to just think about and maybe mention to God, if or however you want to do that, what's one thing you love about Jesus? Or you're intrigued about by Jesus? Take 10 seconds just to ponder that. All right. That's part of a practice, right? Allowing our mind, focusing our attention, setting our mind on something like that. There's a fourth thing, and this kind of gets to the heart of what Brother Lawrence was teaching, and that's turn to God throughout your day. Now, well, we're going to start off here with this whole idea of what was really important for Brother Lawrence. It was necessary for Brother Lawrence. It's like cooking, working in the kitchen, doing dishes in the kitchen. That was his life. Now, I'm not all that familiar with, or I'm not actually familiar at all with the restaurant industry. I know some of you have worked either fast food or catering, all that kind of thing. My only experience is pretty much watching the Food Network every once in a while, right? And you can watch like Gordon Ramsay or something who runs a kitchen that probably isn't considered real peaceful and tranquil, right? There's a lot of commotion going on. And probably if you've worked in the food industry, you know it's a fairly intense way. Really, my only experience in the kitchen, probably my family's fairly grateful for that, but is mostly, you know, on a few days a week, it's my job to do dishes after supper, right? And so there are a couple of practices that I do during that time. One of them is to turn to my little AI machine and say, okay, Google, play Journey on Spotify. Because there's nothing like a little, you know, 80s rock to just help things move along a little bit better. Now, that just to be sure, that wasn't in Brother Lawrence's book. He didn't mention that. But the other is, you know, when everybody's left the kitchen, it's, you know, there's quiet, it's a mindless task, and it's a good opportunity to reflect, from time to pray, some time just to interact with God. And so those are ways, and that's, I think, the kind of example that Brother Lawrence talked about. He said, he was said about him, in his business in the kitchen, to which he had naturally a great aversion, having accustomed himself to do everything there for the love of God and with prayer upon all occasions, for his grace to do his work well, he had found everything easy during 15 years he had been employed there. All right. So basically, his challenge to us is, hey, whatever you're doing, whatever your job is, whatever you're putting your task, whatever task you face, just allow time in that to, in a sense, to make room for God, to experience the presence of God. And so he talks about, you know, whether, you know, you're thinking about a task at school or at work or at home. Asking for God's help to know what to do, you know, beforehand. Asking for God's help to do it well. And then giving thanks when you're done. You know, kind of this wrap, you know, a particular project or task with that. And there's, a big list. What could that be? Waiting for an appointment. On your commute home, you know, maybe leave the radio off for a time or your podcast off and just make, you know, kind of convert that vehicle into a little chapel with wheels. You know, allow some time for that. Maybe before a meeting or maybe, kind of a possibly tense meeting with someone. Walking down the halls at school before a test, during a test, after a test, right? Sometimes at the top of every hour. You know, there's like an hourly chime app that you could get on your phone, or Blip Blip, I think, is one of them for Androids. And if you just hear this gong is mine, it's not overly subtle, but, that's a good reminder. I could just say a little prayer. A calendar notification, those kind of things. As you're reading the news, you know, maybe just utter a little prayer for someone that you read about or a situation that's there. While you're gardening, or painting, or cutting lumber, or before a meal, before writing another line of code, you know, standing in line at the store, sweeping the floors, waiting for students to enter your classroom, sitting in church, you know, could be. So, when we take a moment, practice the presence of God once more. And so for the next 10 seconds, I want you to pray for the person sitting closest to you. You may not even know them. You don't know what's going on with them, but just quietly take a little moment in your seat and just maybe it's, you know, Lord, fill them with your love or give them wisdom or just let them know you're with them. So let's just take 10 seconds to pray for the person sitting closest to you. Cool. A lot of us were just prayed for right now. That's pretty cool. And we can do that anytime we're meeting with people or people come our way. Maybe you're on your way to see a patient or you're taking a shower or using the restroom or walking or running through the neighborhood. You know, all of these and many more are opportunities throughout the day to turn your attention to God, who is always with us. And that can help nurture a relationship with God. Fifth, use breath prayers to converse with God. Brother Lawrence said, we ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity, speaking to him frankly and plainly and imploring his assistance in our affairs just as they happen. Now, certainly we can, you know, you can have an extended period of conversation as long as you want to. And, you know, if you have a 45-minute commute on the way home, well, that's lots of time potentially. But oftentimes, it's really just what some people call breath prayers. It's just like, you know, a few words, a few syllables, a few, you know, a sentence or a phrase that is just a way of, hey, giving ourselves to God. So that might be, just sharing a struggle. Man, I'm struggling today, Lord. Could use your help. Confessing your failure. Asking questions. You know, what do you want me to do next? What's something that you're doing in this situation, and how can I join in? Maybe it's just reflecting on Scripture. Maybe something that you read earlier or that you heard on Sunday or just a favorite passage that you just want to mull over for a little bit. Those are possibilities. Just giving a word of thanks. Thanking God. So again, hang with me. We're going to practice the presence of God, turning our attentions explicitly and just mention to God one thing you're grateful for today. Just one thing you're grateful for. Let's do that. All right. Just other ways of just, you know, as you see people walking down the street, a friend, a stranger, just voicing a little, or internally voicing a little prayer, asking God for help or wisdom or for the strength in the middle of a sickness or singing a song, you know, from Sunday worship or another favorite. Brother Lawrence said, everyone is capable of such familiar conversation with God. Some more, some less. He knows what we can do. Let us begin, then, he says. Just give it a try. Last thing, and this I appreciate this about him as well. He said, is this lesson of be patient with yourself. He said, at times a crowd of wondering wild fancies would invade his mind. This is about him. Would invade his mind and take violent possession of the place of God. When that happened, he kept quiet, calm, and proceeded straight away to expel them. This done, he returned to his communion with God. Right? He says, all right, I'll get back on track. He said, make it your practice before beginning any task to look to God, even if it is just for a moment. Look to God while you do any activity and also after you have completed it. It takes much time and patience to perfect this practice. So do not be discouraged by failure. This habit is only developed with much difficulty. Yet when it is achieved, how great will be your joy. So just, try it. Be patient. And see what happens. You know, as I think about my own experience in my relationship with God, I think I've had ups and downs throughout the course of my life. And when it comes to feeling connected to God, you know, there have been times when I've, you know, gone away and had kind of extended periods of time and prayer that have been really meaningful and kind of formative and helpful. And other times when, I don't know, just not happening, or I don't make those times as much. There have been times when I've practiced the presence of God and other times when I've been pretty distracted. And, you know, you go often for a day and say, oh, I really haven't really thought much about God at all today, right? Like Brother Lawrence, I've had a hard time staying focused for, like, these devotional prayer times sometimes. And then you kind of feel like a spiritual failure, like, But as I've been, you know, the last couple months, been kind of reintroduced to Brother Lawrence and this whole concept of becoming, acknowledging the presence of God and just taking times to set our minds on God and opening ourselves to just a little conversation here and there with God. And it's reminded me of that, the benefit of just that ongoing kind of relationship with the Lord throughout the day. Certainly not perfection there at all, and certainly not, oh, every moment of every day I'm thinking, you know, in this relationship with God. But it's been good to step out in faith and just increase my faith and walk with Jesus. And so as we, you know, think about the practice this week, I would just encourage you to, you know, pick this up. You can read through some of what he talks about in the workbook. But maybe just find some times that you could build into your day where you know that, hey, this is a good time and it'll be a little bit undistracted. I'm going to make a point of doing it then. Or just as you're, you know, allowing your mind to focus during different parts of the day. Maybe, you know, using a calendar or notification or one of those phone chimes could be a way that, or just allow something to prompt you, like right before you start a task or finish a task. And if you want to, like if you're, you know, a writing person and a journal person, in that workbook, there's kind of a clock of a day, and you can say, hey, Tuesday, there were about four times in the morning that I, you know, kind of just checked in with God. If you want to keep track of that, go for it. That may be a way just to increase, to take some steps forward in that relationship with God. So I want to kind of conclude with some words of Brother Lawrence, this 17th century monk. And this is his advice to all the world. He says, think often on God, by day, by night, in your business, and even in your diversions. He is always near you and with you. Leave him not alone. You would think it rude to leave a friend alone who came to visit you. Why then must God be neglected? Do not then forget him. But think on him often, adore him continually, live and die with him. This is the glorious employment of a Christian. In a word, this is our profession. If we do not know it, we must learn it. Let's pray together, if you would. God, it is it's a huge mystery. How you invite us into a relationship with you, a relationship that could carry on throughout the day. And for some of us, that's a delightful experience that we have throughout our experience. Some of us maybe really just struggle with the concept, or is that something that I can really even believe? And others of us have had those ups and downs, those ebbs and flows of that relationship with you. But we want to take it this morning as your word. We'll take it as reality. Just say, hey, walk with me. Open yourself to me. Join with me in a conversation throughout the day as you go about your work, as you go about, you know, life as a family member, life as an employee, life as a hobbyist, whatever you're doing, just I'm with you. And you invite us to pay attention and to experience your grace and your goodness and your love. So teach us this week. Help us to patiently proceed and open ourselves to you and your love. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing along with us as we sing our closing song.